What an adventure we're on in growing in God and becoming more like Jesus every day. And that's a good way to start this message on transformation, comparing the inner man to the outward man. Now, when you're born again, how much of Jesus are you like? How much of Jesus' love do you have in you? How much of Jesus' wisdom do you have in you? How much knowledge of God is in you? You're probably going to say, I'm a new creation, so I'm righteous like Christ. That's true, because you're new nature. But how much knowledge do you have? How much of God's knowledge is in you? How much of God's, the love of Christ is really in your life? And we all are honest and say, got a long ways to go. And that's okay to be honest. But the real question we're discussing today is, how do I get that knowledge, that wisdom, that love of Christ into my life? How do I make it part of me? How do I become that? And that's the importance of understanding transformation and how it works. See, a lot of people get inspired to pray, inspired to read the Word, but then they get discouraged somewhere along the line because they don't know how it works. It's like Pastor Dave used to say, he'd go to a church and preach or get someone listening to him praying in tongues. And then he'd meet that person a year later and they'd say, you know, Pastor Dave, the preacher I've been listening to, they've changed. They're not teaching the truth. Pastor Dave would laugh and say, no, they haven't changed. They're preaching the same thing they've always preached. You're the one who's changed. Your knowledge has increased, the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God is knowledge that comes from God's mind, and it is indestructible. It's truth that will last for eternity. When that knowledge becomes part of you, that means that you're becoming more like Christ. You now are be able to think more like Jesus. Well, let's start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm still in this series really just trying to preach and paint the picture of transformation, of how it works. Because I had the similar situation when I began praying in tongues. Eventually, I started to know things. I didn't know how I knew them. Like, how do I know this isn't right? How do I know that's being taught wrong? I remember one preacher used to preach incredibly about finances and giving and that, and use the verses. And all of a sudden, I started to see, wait a minute, that verse is out of context. That's not the right verse to use. And I began to learn things, and I felt bad. Like, how dare I think I know more than this world-renowned preacher? It's the knowledge of God does not ask forgiveness to the knowledge of man for saying you're wrong. The knowledge of God is confrontational. That's why doctrine is confrontational against wrong doctrine. And every preacher around the world will use the same similar Bible that I use. Maybe a different version, King James. I use the New King James, and I would like to use the King James, but I have a hard time comprehending it with the these and the thous. And so I use the New King James, but the King James is my base Bible. If there's a difference between the New King James and the King James, outside of just wording, I'll mostly submit to the King James understanding, if I can say it that way. But the New King James is the Bible I use. But irregardless, all the preachers around the world using their Bible, and they're all pretty similar overall. Some are crazy Bibles, but overall it's the same scripture. And they end up with so many different doctrines, so many different ideas about everything. Most of us have submitted to the understanding that you still need to accept Jesus to be born again. But listen, nowadays people are using the Bible to say all kinds of things. So the Bible isn't really the knowledge of God. And let me say this carefully. It is the knowledge of God written through man, by God. God's writing it through man to put on paper. But it's not the written word as much as the truth that the words are describing. And that's where the twisting can take place, is where someone can misunderstand or misinterpret what God is saying using the same wording that you're using and come up with a different idea about God. That's the danger. The real teacher you have is the Holy Spirit. I hear a lot of people saying in the past, some guys visit Jesus. They have an experience with Jesus every week, and Jesus teaches them things, and angels talking to them, and experiences, and dreams, and all that can be okay, except for the angel part. Angels aren't supposed to teach you. But really, the teacher God gave us was the Holy Spirit. Not a dream, not a vision, not an angelic visit, not even a visit by Jesus Christ himself. I'm not calling that not true, that people have experienced a visitation by Christ or have a conversation with Jesus. And for in the moment, he may be bringing a correction or an instruction, but the teacher is not to be visions and dreams and ideas and feelings and thoughts and angels. It's to be the Holy Spirit teaching you. And the majority of people I know, of ministers I know who are Holy Ghost bent, they're praying, they're seeking God, they feel the Holy Spirit comes and teaches them personally. And he will do that if that's all you get. But there's a much more powerful way for the Holy Spirit to teach you than through a vision, through a dream, through a time with Jesus himself. And even with the Holy Spirit teaching you and giving you instructions on the outside. That's with allowing him to do the work in you. And that is through passing knowledge through praying in tongues. And real quick here, just for this picture today, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. King James says he speaketh mysteries. When you pray in tongues, you're speaking a mystery, a revelation, a truth, a knowledge that originated in God's mind, an everlasting, unchanging truth. And so if you really want to not misinterpret the scripture and take your holy Bible, the words of God written by God through man, and understand what it means, then you need the help of the teacher who wrote it, the Holy Spirit. And that's why we always say, whatever God tells you, whatever you feel, see, or think, and is from God, if it doesn't line up, if you can't find proof of it in the Word of God, then don't listen to that. The proper understanding of the Word of God protects you. But yet, a lot of people use the Word of God to justify things that aren't God. How can that be if the Word of God is to protect us? It's not just your Bible. It is the truth, the revelation within the Bible. And when you pray in tongues, you pray mysteries. That's ancient wisdom, God's knowledge. Not man's knowledge, God's knowledge. Let's go to chapter 3 and look at verse 1. And just stay with me. I'm trying to paint the picture of transformation for us. Here in 1 Corinthians, he's mostly talking to the leaders, the preachers, and he's correcting them and explaining to them this process that we're talking about. In chapter 3, verse 1, he makes a statement, 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So now he's calling these preachers carnal and babes. Now, they're not babes like they just got born again. These are men who have walked in power, signs and wonders under the gifting, have built a church and worked with organizing and preaching and ministering. but yet they remain babes in Christ. See, it's possible for a believer to walk with God through their outward man, the carnal man, and receive the Bible through their carnal thinking, their natural mind. That's why it's so important you understand, and I hope you can see it, that you have a spiritual mind and a natural mind. So when I read the Bible, my natural mind, which is very capable of great things, man have built rockets and sent things to Mars through the ability of a natural carnal mind. It's very incredible, the natural mind a human has. But it's not even in the same class as your spiritual mind that you were given when you were born again. And so when God speaks to you in those mysteries, he doesn't speak to your natural mind. That's why it says when you pray in tongues, your intellect is unfruitful. Praying in tongues doesn't fill the natural mind with anything. The Holy Ghost bypasses the natural mind and teaches your spiritual mind. That's why if I tell you a great fun fact, you can know that and repeat that. But yet, if you pray in tongues for 2 hours, and the Holy Spirit himself, the teacher of teachers, educated you for 2 hours, where did all that knowledge go? Why don't I don't know. I pray in tongues for 2 hours, and I don't feel like anything happened. And this is where many people get discouraged in praying in tongues, because they don't see it right away. Well, when you understand the process that I'm trying to explain, it brings courage to not give up. And so you can have a relationship with God through your carnal man. And I call it the carnal tree of ministry. You learn how to do things for God in the name of God. But here, Paul, it's very clear here. Verse 1, chapter 3, I, brother, cannot speak to you as spiritual people. So that's a class of Christians, or we can say a path of Christianity, spiritual people. Not spiritual as having experiences and dreams and visions and receiving from the glory cloud or open heavens. It is focusing on your spiritual maturity, developing the spiritual man. I couldn't speak to you in that language. I had to speak to you as to carnal, as to babe. So you can see here that a man can serve God and remain their spiritual being, their inner man can remain like a baby. The baby has to grow up, or if it doesn't grow up, you remain a carnal Christian. And if you focus your life just on serving God, being used of God, you're in danger of remaining a carnal Christian. Not smoking and drinking. The carnal here isn't really talking about smoking and drinking and partying while on Saturdays and going to church on Sunday. It's talking about serving God through your outward man. But I, brother, cannot speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. Even now you are not still able. For you are still carnal. For where there's envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behaving, here's the word, like mere men. God wants us to get out of acting like mere man, using man's ability, using your natural ability, your natural charisma, your natural intellect, your natural skills, talents, to serve the kingdom of God. He wants you to develop that inner man, cause that inner man to grow from being a baby to a young man to a father. And in that development, you'll find that the Holy Spirit will work on the inner man. And the way that transformation works is not that God deals with your outward man for you. Is that he gives you and equips your inner man. So from your inner man's maturity and gaining of knowledge, you can then confront the counterfeit of the outward man. That's how mortification works. And we'll give you one more verse before I move on in chapter 2, verse 16, 1 Corinthians. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's not telling you that when you're born again, you now have the mind of Christ. All of a sudden, you think like Christ. You know, I'm now perfectly born again. I am complete in God. And so now I'm fully trained like Jesus. I just have to step out in faith. And because that's not the picture in all of Paul's writings, having the mind of Christ, he's saying basically, look, you've been born with the same mind that Jesus had, the same spiritual mind that could hold the knowledge of truth. That was you being born again. He gave that to you, but now it must be developed. Otherwise, you remain like a baby. And we don't want to remain like babies because we'll never find the true revival and victories in our life just by accepting it. And you and I both have experienced the frustration of believing God for something that never seems to happen. There's a path for your victory. You have the mind of Christ like a child. And then as you develop it, how do I develop the mind of Christ? You allow the Holy Spirit to pour mysteries, ancient wisdom, ancient truth into your spiritual man. And then as that mysteries and knowledge begins to cultivate and grow, then you'll have enough to confront, and the Holy Spirit will help you to confront the fake knowledge of the outward man. We call it a revelation, but really it's not just a revelation you receive from God on the outside. It's a revelation that God built in you through praying in tongues, and then he exposed it to the outward man, and you were able to say, ah, I don't believe that anymore. And that happened to me many times where I was praying and not realizing what was going on, but then I would know something, a truth, and something about what I've heard preached many, many years by different people started to irritate me. There's something wrong with this. And I didn't learn it in the Greek or the Hebrew. I didn't learn it in a Bible study. Something's not right with this. And the Holy Spirit had taught my inner man, allowing me to take that knowledge and confront what the outer man does. When I read the Bible, and just read it and meditate, I'm reading the Bible, your natural soul can find the context and learn some things. But that's not all that needs to happen. It's not just the context. There's a spiritual truth written to a spiritual believer that can only be understood by the inner man. So when I read the Bible, my outward man goes, oh, I got it. I know what it means. Thank you, Jesus. I got it. I got the word, and I know what it means. And that's where many people live, with the outward man's interpretation of the scripture. And again, you can get some right, but you can get an awful lot wrong. But my inner man, when I read the word, it goes directly into my inner man. My inner man understands the truth because it's born of God and the one who wrote it. It understands it. And so when I'm out witnessing sometimes or sharing with someone, all of a sudden a verse will come to mind. And I'll quote a verse or a saying from the Bible. And I'll think, oh, the Holy Ghost just gave that to me. But it wasn't that the Holy Spirit just gave it to me. It was that my inner man had it in there because I read it sometime. And that inner man doesn't forget. And then in that moment under the anointing, the Holy Spirit was able to take it from the library of the inner man and bring it forward to where I was understanding things and seeing things. And I can quote the verse because it was already in there. It wasn't so much the Holy Spirit gave it to me from the outside. And I hope I'm describing this where you can understand this. And it's so important because there's a lot of times you'll spend reading the word and praying in tongues and not really feeling like you're getting anything. I remember Pastor Dave always taught us to read one book over and over and over 50 times. And I got excited. I started to read a book and read it and read it and read it. And I thought, well, after 50 times, surely I'll have it memorized, you know, 50 times, 100 times. Well, I remember being like a number 46, reading it and keeping focused and that and thinking, yeah, I just read this 46 times. Why am I surprised by the verse that comes next? You know, like, oh, wow, that's next. I didn't remember being here the last 46 times. And thinking, well, shouldn't I have this memorized now? And it's like I wasn't able to recall everything I read doing it the way Pastor Dave taught us. But what I was doing was equipping that inner man with the understanding. And then that inner man was able to shuffle everything in the right order so and bring that understanding forward to where I could have a confrontation with the understanding of my outward man. And then I was able to kill the thought, the counterfeit thought, idea, doctrine that the outward man held on to. And listen, your outward man understands religion, so there's a lot of verses that'll make complete sense to the outward man that won't make sense to the inner man. And the goal is to build up that inner man so we transform from thinking, feeling, living out and serving God through our outward man to we begin to have the ability to think, feel, and live out of the inner man. That is the transformation. Now, there is human wisdom, and we read about that in 1 Corinthians. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians. I want to encourage you today, when you pray in tongues, your mind, your spiritual mind, that mind of Christ, is being filled with mysteries, ancient truths. And if you don't stop, those ancient truths will begin to make a case, a logical, practical case on spiritual truth that will never change. And then the Holy Spirit will take it and sit it right beside your natural man's idea of truth. And you'll see the difference. And in that moment, you get to choose to kill the outward man's knowledge, the case it made of why you can believe God for a healing. Let's make that an example. I'm believing God for a healing myself. And so I can confess the word, which is good because that tells me this is the promise of God. But when I pray in tongues with that, I'm establishing that same knowledge, but the truth of God in my inner man. And if I don't stop, what will happen to me is that that knowledge of God is my healer will be set beside the knowledge of what I hold right now, which is God is my healer. I'll see the difference. Oh, wait a minute. He's my healer, but really, he's my healer. And when I can see that revelation, there's power in that revelation because it is of a spiritual truth, a spiritual nature. And so then I can take that knowledge that has been built in the inner man by the Holy Spirit and take the case that it makes that he is my healer. And I can place it beside the idea that God's my healer that I already know. But the natural man, the natural knowledge does not hold power. It just holds ideas. But the spiritual man, the knowledge of the Spirit, holds power. That's a mystery. Anything that comes from God that builds a case, that case holds power. And so when I can take that and place it beside the understanding of the idea that he's my healer, then I can kill the idea and accept the truth that has the power, and then I'll be able to receive my miracle. Hope I haven't lost you. Don't lose heart. Let's go to that, chapter 4, verse 16. And we're going to go a little bit deeper into the knowledge part today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we want to just acknowledge that the renewing process is in the inner man. Not trying to change your thinking, that I'm able to change my thinking by reading the Bible. It is that you need to change where you think from. And so eventually, when the inner man is able to build a case of the knowledge from the knowledge of God that you're healed or he's your provider or in your success of life, in your victories praying for others, That's where the power is. And when that case is built by the inner man, the Holy Spirit goes and takes that piece of knowledge and sits it right beside the knowledge of the natural man. And then you go, wow, I see it now. I get it now. And then you mortify the knowledge of the outward man. The inner man is where the renewing takes place. Mortification is for the outward mind, not trying to, you don't think differently. The outward man's mind cannot think like God because it's not from God. It's from Adam. It's a piece of meat. I'm going to read real quick here. Just stay with me. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding the internal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, we don't look at the outward man, the outward body which is seen, but the things which are not seen. What's not seen? Your inner man. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the inner man and whatever is established in the inner man is eternal. It's never going to leave. The knowledge you allow the Holy Spirit to embed into your inner man by praying in tongues, those mysteries, that's going to be with you for the rest of eternity. Every day for the rest of eternity, you and I are going to learn something new and amazing about God forever. Every day we'll be shocked. God, you are incredible. You are amazing. Every day. And you won't forget it. You'll remember it. Because that's the strength of the inner man. Your spiritual man is born of God. Your outward man is born of Adam. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So we don't look at what I can do. I don't look at this outward man. I don't acknowledge my outward man as being of God. I am to make my outward man bow its knee to the inward man. The outward man must serve the inner man, or the inner man will serve the outward man. Now, a lot of preachers use the terminology, the soul must serve the spirit. What I'm saying, just different terminology. The outward man's soul must serve the inner man's soul. The outward man's mind must serve the inner man's mind. That is how this transformation takes place. You're taking the thoughts of Christ that only your inner man can understand, and you are making the outward man bow its knee. For while we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, looking up to verse 7, let's study this part a little bit more. Chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Now, I explained to you in the last lesson that this word treasure, if you look it up in the Greek, can mean treasure. But it can also mean treasure chest. And when you see in context, he's talking about the difference between the inner man and outward man, then that makes sense. I have a vessel inside of a vessel. I have a treasure chest inside of an earthly chest. I have a treasure of spiritual material. I have a treasure chest or a vessel inside of an earthly vessel, a spiritual vessel inside of an earthly vessel. But we have this treasure chest in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And this is the role of Christians, not just to go out and be good people, not just to live the best life now, but to quit living out of that earthen vessel and begin to develop and build up that spiritual vessel inside, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. God wants to shake your life, shake your family's life, shake your city, your nation, and turn the world upside down by letting the world experience Him through us, not us for Him. We have this treasure chest and earthen vessel that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. He's talking about the warfare that he's going through on this path from the outside, from enemies. But we have this treasure chest in earthen vessel. now that you know that your spiritual mind is a treasure chest of holding the knowledge of God, but it's when you're born again, it's empty. It's like a newborn baby. You can ask it, what's 1 + 1, little baby? And it can't even speak yet. It has to fill itself up with knowledge and experience. While your newborn human spirit is like a child that needs to grow up. And as it grows up, you can begin to live out of that inner man instead of the outward man. And then what God does through you will be of Him and with His power and not of you. We can raise $1 million, gather hundreds of preachers, go to a nation and preach and get a bunch of people saved. And it's a good job. It's a good, always a good work to get people saved. But one man or woman who has that inner man coming forward can step into a nation and turn it upside down from God in them without having to rally a whole bunch of people to try to do it for God. That's why I say the carnal church's motto is, what can we do for God? Where the spiritual people is, what can God do through me? And I want you to see that, what we read in 1 Corinthians 3. There's two paths of walking with God for a believer. They both go to heaven. One is a carnal path, which causes your inner man to remain like a baby. The other is spiritual people, carnal people versus spiritual people. The spiritual people are one who focus on developing that spiritual man, the inner man. For we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now let's continue over to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll kind of finish up this picture for today. It's so encouraging when you understand this transformation process. That, okay, I prayed in tongues, I've read the word, I've worshiped, but I don't feel better, I feel worse about myself. and things aren't going great like I thought they would be. My ministry's not exploding, my victory's not happening. But when you understand the process, that it takes time because that inner man has to grow up. And then from there, you mortify the outward man. Then it helps you to say, okay, I may not feel it completely yet, but I know that this path will not fail me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. So Paul's heart is, he's saying, my heart is that you grow and obtain the knowledge of God, the riches of the fullness of the understanding. He's not talking about money here. Listen, obtain all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Now, if I take my dog and I say, I taught my dog a trick, and I asked you, where does that dog hold the knowledge that I just taught it? Would you say his paw? I taught my dog how to shake his paw with me. Is the knowledge to shake my hand with his paw in his paw? You say, no, it's in my mind. It's in his mind. Yeah, the mind is a place that knowledge is stored. Well, when I talk to believers and say, when you pray in tongues and God teaches you something, where does this understanding and this knowledge go when God teaches you? When you pray in tongues, they would say, oh, way down in my spirit. And that's those who use the model of, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. I use the model now of, I have an inner man and an outward man. They say, way down in my spirit. Okay, so where in your spirit? Way down in my belly button. So your belly button can hold knowledge, but yet I thought knowledge was held in a mind. You have a mind in your spirit that is hungry and starving for the truth and mysteries of God. And Paul says that their heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, obtaining to all riches of the fullness of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom, so in the Father and in Christ, is in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Paul is saying, in God, the Father and in Christ, is hidden. It's not given freely. It's hidden. You got to go unearth it. And the Holy Spirit will do that for you by praying. Think of praying in tongues as a shovel to dig up the treasure of knowledge and understanding for, how do I get my family saved? How do I get healed? How do I understand real prosperity? How do I walk in my calling? Well, all that's hidden in God's mind right now. He knows. He knows exactly what to give you. And with that knowledge is where you will find the faith to see it come forward. It is a treasure hidden, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So here's the picture from 2 Corinthians. I've been born again. My spiritual mind is like a treasure chest inside of an earthly vessel. That spiritual treasure chest is empty. It's like a newborn baby. And it wants to be filled with gems of knowledge and gold bricks of truth that are hidden in God's mind. Well, the mysteries that come forward when I pray in tongues is the Holy Spirit is taking a gem out of God's mind of truth and knowledge and place it into your treasure chest of your spiritual mind. And once it gets in there, it never leaves there. It'll be with you for the rest of eternity because it's unchanging. The truth of God that you put in your inner man, you won't be surprised when you go to heaven and go, say, well, oh, the Holy Spirit taught me wrong. Jesus will never say, no, don't believe the Holy Spirit. He's not quite there yet. Just, you know, no, everything the Holy Spirit deposits in your spiritual mind, that treasure chest, is a gem of truth, a gold block of truth that will never leave you. And it takes those truths, your inner man will begin to take those truths and build a case and build a reasoning from those truths of why you can receive from God, why you can see victory outside of your natural ability and natural skills. Oh, I pray this is making sense to you. In whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone deceive you. So deception is protected. Your ability to be deceived is protected by you filling up that inner man with knowledge. And how do we get that knowledge? The mysteries of God. I'm going to go back here. I want to go through a lot more verses today, but I'm going to slow down here because I want to just emphasize this transfer of knowledge over in 1 Corinthians. Oh, let's go to chapter 13. Chapter 13 is talking about this process of bringing forward the love of God and the knowledge of God into your inner man. Chapter 12 is Paul describing how the carnal church works. Chapter 13 is describing how the spiritual people work. The spiritual people says this, verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, meaning I have limited knowledge. I only have partial knowledge, so therefore my prophecies are in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. And that word perfect means mature. When maturity comes, I'll put away the part knowledge because I'll have full knowledge. This is not talking about heaven. This is talking about maturity. Maybe many people think when we're in heaven, we'll understand why things happen the way they happen. Right now, I look through a glass darkly and I can't see the reasoning of why I had to suffer, why the world was the way it was or God had to do things. But once we get in heaven, we'll understand that that's not the what he's saying. He's saying when maturity comes, then you put away the partial part of understanding. And that's what was happening to the church in 1 Corinthians. They were walking in gifts and anointing and signs and wonders, but they didn't have love. They haven't developed Christ in them. They remained as babies, and therefore God had to work through their carnal man the same way he did with unsaved Old Testament saints. But there's a greater way, a more excellent way, and that is to develop that inner man in his knowledge, in his emotions. And then when the inner man grows, he begins to confront the parts, the almost truths, the just about got it but missed it. And missing it means you don't see your miracle. But there is a path where you will have it, and once you have it, you'll never lose it. I know I'm kind of doing a little short version here. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, telling the disciples or the people and the preachers in 1 Corinthians, right now you know in part and so you prophesy in part. But when that which is mature has come, then we get rid of the part. This is where I can bring you over to Romans 8:13, where it says, by the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh. We talked about in 2 Corinthians 4 about life of Christ. Death in me is causing the life of Christ to come in me. This is the picture. That when that which is mature has come in the inner man, then that which is in part will be done away with. So it's not about this transformation of knowledge and understanding of God. Isn't that God teaches you from the outside and sits down with your carnal man? Is that you build up the inner man, and then it will help you to do away with the outward man's bad partial thinking, partial knowledge. But when that which is mature has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, remember he called them children, he called them babes. And I would say, when I was like you, when I was a child, verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, I thought, I understood. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish thinking, childish understanding, childish talk. See, a lot of believers are very in spiritual people now. A lot of spiritual church who have a belief that I'm fully complete and I just need to accept who I am. I just quit sinning. I quit thinking, and they're using their own willpower to do it. They say, I put away childish things. Well, he said, you can't just cast away childishness. I'm no longer going to be a child. I'm never going to act like a child. No, you have to outgrow being a child. And that's what he's saying. When I became mature, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh, I'm going to stop there. I can keep going, but I don't want to bore you with more stuff. I'll come back and we'll keep teaching this. The transformation process is building up the inner man in his knowledge and his emotions by praying in tongues, reading the word, worshiping God. And then as that inner man grows, then you will mortify, put to death. It's not the Holy Spirit's job. And you can't just choose to get rid of the outward man. You can't believe away the outward man. You can't confess away the outward man. You have to mortify the outward man. How do I do that? Build up that inner man until he's strong enough. Build up that inner man until he knows enough of the spiritual truth. Your inner man has the capacity to think like Jesus, to love like Jesus. That means if you keep this up, you will transform from where you're thinking from. You'll transform out of the part into the whole. And that's where you and I will see the full power of God in our life. Let's quit running around to preachers, getting them to lay hands on us so we can receive something that can only be done by transformation. I really appreciate you spending time with me and let me preach this. I love you and I'll see you again soon. God bless.